Thank you, and good morning. This morning I will be talking about the idea of having a national soil science field camp that we are considering to be today's high tech. First, the authors. If you're here, would you please stand up? Okay, we've got a couple in the back. The reason is that this is not an S5 initiative, and that's one reason that these individuals, we're kind of an organizing committee right now. We want more people to be involved in this, because as I go through this presentation, you're going to find out that it's going to be quite involved to be able to run a national soil science field camp. So why a national soil science field camp? Well, it's ironic because our other speakers have talked about all the field work that they've been doing up in Canada. But I think in the United States, we're going the opposite way. And seeing scenes like this are becoming few and far between of actually going out to the field. Some of the situations that we're facing is the fact that there are fewer courses being offered at universities, especially soil science classes that are offering labs. We're cutting back on the labs. And if the labs are offered, again, they're very few field-oriented labs. And I'm not talking about a class that goes out once or twice a semester and they call that a field lab, or a field-oriented class. Field labs are challenging, and those in the audience that have run field labs, and myself included for many years, you know, you're facing a lot of situations. You're facing the field conditions that you want. We're getting now into landowners' permission. The landowners are worried about liabilities and having students out there. Students, in some cases, are just not interested in going to the field anymore. You got expenses. The university or your department is looking at the expenses of taking students out to the field, like who's going to pay for the gas and which vehicles are you going to use. And nowadays, too, we have to worry about buried cables, gas lines, and even archaeological sites. So we're getting to have a fewer field opportunities. This is just something that I made up, so it's kind of my own opinion, but I think that most of you would agree with this. And you'll see, I have a relative degree of interest. And down at the bottom, I have the decades, and then I put a graph up here. Let me explain to you. From about the 1960s to, I would say, about the 1980s, because of increase in soil survey activities, there was a lot of interest in field work. Okay? And many, again, of us sitting here in the audience, we did a lot of soil mapping or just had a lot of field trips that we went on. And so there was a big increase in the interest in field activities. From about the 1980s to the 1990s, we kind of plateaued. I think we decreased a little bit getting into the early or the late part of the 1980s. But then from the 1990s, and I put in there 1995 because I think that's a critical year, there was a big decrease in soil survey activities. And mainly, one of the things that was happening, a lot of those soil scientists were being converted over to GIS experts. And so there was an increase in computer applications. From the 2000s to about 2010, you'll see that I have a slight increase because I think now the idea of students and GIS and GPSs is something that we're all very common with now. And so I think students are turning back to having interest in the field, just like we just heard with some of our previous speakers here. At least I hope so. I hope that the students are interested now in gaining more field experience. Because I think they see that as part of their lack in their education right now. So we're proposing a field camp. And, of course, the major objective of a field camp is to offer a field-oriented experience. And to do that, I decided to look back or to do some research on the geosciences field camp. Okay? Okay, we all know that the geosciences have a field camp, but they're going through a transition as well that when I was looking at some research presenting this presentation, that I was surprised at. First, they all have a long history, and everyone knows it's traditional for geology students to go on a field camp. Okay. The University of Missouri has had their field camp continuously for the last 100 years. And they look like they're having a lot of fun back in those days. Look at those tents that they stayed in, and look at the vehicle they had to take. The geoscience is a field camp. Usually only one university is involved. Now this is changing slightly. Some universities now are joining with a second university, but usually it's only one university that's involved. Usually it's 6 weeks, but at some universities I looked at, it can be as long as 8 weeks. It's usually in the western part of the United States. It's usually in a beautiful location. And there's a reason I'm using that word usually as I continue on with my presentation. It's usually 6 days a week in class. Usually there are 3 to 4 instructors. Usually there are 15 students that they take. And again, some things are changing now with the geosciences field camp. And usually it's after the 3rd year of college that they go to camp. So it's between the junior year and their senior year that they go to the geological field camp. The geosciences are field camps. They all say it's location, location, location. And that's, of course, why so many universities go to the western part of the United States. Very important, though, the instructors, the teaching methods, and the field skills. And it all gets back to the instructors. Okay? 3 to 4 instructors are selected to do it. It depends on their teaching methods and their teaching skills and their field skills of what is taught during the geological field camp. Time and money. I'll talk a little bit more about that as far as the money that's involved for these students to go. And again, it's a time. It's a commitment of time for the students. It's a commitment of time for the instructors. The academic intensity. It really depends, again, on how long the field camp is. As I mentioned, most of them are 6 weeks, and they're in field camp for 6 days of the week. Some camps are as long as 8 weeks, but they're only in camp for about 5 days of a week. And then, of course, the physical demands of, and depending on which field camp they go to, some of them are just seeing the mountains and the snow and everything like that, and others are very intense of what they do as far as the hiking that they have to go through for their field camp. They also go international, and I just put up this to show you that they actually have places to go: Italy, Argentina, Ireland, Canada, the Bahamas, India and Turkey, and even to Africa. And there's even a field camp that goes to Antarctica. Cornell goes to Argentina for their field camp. But you'll notice also that they get continuous contributions from the Shell Oil Company, okay, to run their field camp in Argentina. This is very interesting. Again, usually the field camp is in the western United States, and that's still true. What I've listed is the state, and in parentheses is the number of universities that go to that state. And you'll see Wyoming is number one, Colorado being number one, too. 22 universities. Now, again, these are public universities and they're private universities, so we're not just talking about land-grant universities. But what I want to point out is this. The number of states now that one university goes to those states. And the reason is that I could find out is cost. The universities now are staying home, closer to home. They're not taking the students all the way out to Montana anymore. They're staying in their home state, or they're staying, taking the students to a field camp in a neighboring state. And again, cuts down in cost, and in some cases it cuts down in the time as well that they're in field camp. Some of the costs, okay, and I just put 3 up here, and you'll get an idea of the credit hours that the tuition they pay, what they call the field camp costs. Northern Illinois State is a $2,800 field camp, 6 weeks. The camp costs all vary, depending, again, on what is considered to be the camp cost and where they go. But we're looking at close to about $5,000 down to about $3,400, somewhere in that neighborhood. So there is a range, but it's still quite a bit of money for these students to go to these field camps and a commitment of time. But as I mentioned, the geologists are also facing a dilemma. They have declining enrollment. They're having shifting employment patterns. They're going through a modern versus a traditional geosciences curriculum right now. So their core curriculum is in a flux. Basically, what's happening is the question, do the geosciences today need a field camp? It goes down to the costs involved again and the time. And as they put down here, that they are also going through this identity crisis. Okay. Some universities now are not requiring a field camp. Some universities don't have a field camp anymore, okay. Even though it's been traditional for students to take time during the summer to attend these camps. So what are we going to do for a National Soil Science Field Camp? Again, it's field-oriented and experience in soil science applications. And again, I want to emphasize that this is not just a pedology field camp. We want this to be a soil sciences field camp. So some of the details that we have looked at and we have discussed, and this is what we have come up with, but we're open to suggestions. The primary sponsor will be the Soil Science Society of America. Again, it will not be one university. Okay, SSSA headquarters, Dawn Ferris has agreed that SSSA will be the sponsor or the main organizer of the field camp. We've discussed that at this time, 3 weeks would be enough time. The time would be late May to early June, and that's about when the geologists go on their field camp as well. We're hoping to start next summer. That's debatable. If we can get everything together, maybe we can start next summer. The students should be at least a junior, undergraduate, and then we're discussing, should we allow graduate students? The number of students we've decided is to limit it to about 20, and then the location, we feel that the first time, because again, headquarters is sponsoring it, that we would have it in Wisconsin, just to get things going, okay? Then after a year, 2 years, whatever is needed, then we would move this national field camp around the United States by region. That's what we're discussing. So it would be in Wisconsin, and then maybe it would move to the Northeast region. Again, not a university running it. Still headquarters would be running it, and then move it down to the Southeast, etc. Some of the suggested topics, and again, this gets back to the instructors that we have, and we haven't picked any instructors or anything like that. We're just going through some of the ideas, and these are some of the ideas that we came up with some of the suggested topics that we would teach. Everything from the geomorphology, bedrock identification, how to read landscapes, understanding landforms, things that students, I feel, just are not taught, or if they are, it's, again, 1-2 hour field lab, you take them out. The fee structure. Now, this is going to be something we're going to really have to scratch our heads about, because, again, it's not one university. Again, field camp for the geologists, it's one university. They usually don't have a problem with the fee structure. But we've got these students that are going to come from different universities around the country. So how are we going to charge them for it, or how they're going to be charged for it? How are they going to get credit hours from their home university for taking the field camp? This, is, again, is something that's going to have to be worked out. It could be a transit student credit. They could do an independent study credit. Will at their university will be an on-book or an off-book course. Would it have to be a formal course that they would have to create? Someone at their university would have to create. Again, these are some of the items that we're still working out. The camp fee, food and lodging, the vehicles, the insurance, the facility, the instructor's salary. How are we going to compensate the instructors for this? And then SSSA headquarters will also have a cost that's involved. These are all of the ideas that we're still talking about at this time. So, some questions. Should it be national or regional? Well, we decided that it should be a national field camp, not regional. Some people have talked about, well, let's just have it, because soils are different around the United States, let's just have it a regional. Every region has their own field camp. We've decided right now that probably it should be a national soil science field camp. Who should be the instructors? Again, we're still talking about that. What background should they have? How do we pay? How do we compensate the instructors for their time? Again, the costs, the fees, the tuition for the students. Should we offer them scholarships? Or should this be a program, maybe like the Golden Opportunities, the students are selected and then are able to come to the field camp? How do we select the participants? Okay, again, they're going to come from different universities. How do we select them? Do the home universities select them and then send them to the field camp? Or does headquarters select them? That's something, again, we're still being discussed. Should the participants only be students? Should they only be undergraduate students? Should they be graduate students? Should we allow professionals to come to the field camp? Again, how long should it be? At this time, my authors, we've discussed, it should be about 3 weeks. Is that too long? Is that too short? Until we do it at least the first time, maybe the second time, we'll know more. Having it 6 weeks to 8 weeks, personally, I just don't see us being able to have it that long. The big question is, is it worth the time, the effort, and the expense that we would have to go through to arrange, organize, and then offer the National Soil Science Field Camp?
Yes.
That's what we would like. So with that, I'm going to end my talk with, we have a yes.
Yes, of course.
Questions, comments in the back? Do we have time?
Yes.
Okay.
Spending 6 or even 7 days a week for 6 weeks, 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, out in the field, you can't replace that in a traditional academic setting. So.
I think it would be wise, if there isn't a person on the committee already, to consult with UC Davis and their Soil 105 field camp.
Yeah.
Two comments, Mary. One is sort of follow up on this previous comment. I mean, I think there are a number of institutions that actually have field-based courses, extended field-based courses that are in place, and it seems that in a lot of ways it would be a lot easier to tap into those East Coast, West Coast opportunities already in place. Second thing, maybe my bigger concern, is that with that laundry list of topics that you're going to cover, although they'll be giving a field experience, most of those I think the difference between that and these other field, geological field camps, some of the field courses, soils field courses that exist, is that those actually are designed to develop a certain level of competence because
right.
You're spending 3 weeks on maybe one or two of those topics and not a dozen.
Yeah, and let me just add to that comment before, is that, again, it depends on the number of instructors that you have, because, again, the geological, they only have 3 to 4 instructors for 6 weeks. Okay. And so they get very intense experience in their skills of their instructors. And I agree with you. I don't know if we should have 20 instructors for this class. You know, we may just have to have a core number of instructors. But this is, again, this is what we're talking about.
What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think definitely that to keep the cost down, that's going to be a limiting factor, because when you take 3 weeks of a student's summer, that's 3 weeks less, of employment and everything. That's why we get back. It's going to take some momentum to get the students interested, to let them know that it's worth their time to do this. And I think once we do it once, and if we do it well, word will get out. Hopefully that this is something that they should attend, and it'd be very, very good for them as far as getting employment. Yeah, go ahead.
Mary, thanks for leading the charge on this. As a teacher in a largely graduate student community at Duke University, I would definitely say there's a nice clientele of graduate students around the country who would come into this and need this field experience just like juniors and seniors.
Okay.
I'm just curious why the Soil Science Society of America is so involved with this and is going to charge a fee. It seems to me that to hold the cost down might be beneficial just to work with a single university if not cut out their, as to say, administrative school.
Well,
but every kind of social this society seems to come at cost, and if you're looking to hold down costs, I think that's one item.
Two reasons. One, the university is going to charge you something, too, okay, because you're going to be taking your time, the faculty time. And the second thing is, and I've talked to several university representatives, and they've always said to me, in fact, when they heard about this, oh, yeah, we had that idea a long time ago, but they never initiated it. So hopefully with SSSA being the big umbrella, okay, that we can initiate this now rather than depending on one university to do it and then, yeah. There's no doubt a university can handle it, but will they do it? And no one has done it. Dawn, would you like to say what does headquarters have planned for this? Since you're the representative from headquarters with SSSA for this.
I think we're interested in this.
hearing from a lot of our consultants is they're getting in people to the universities. You know, I had the horror story last year. Somebody told me, oh, I hired a soil scientist, got him out in the field, they didn't come and use soil on Earth. That's sad. And so our consultants are kind of asking for students that are coming out of the universities with a little bit more field experience, whether it's in-depth or not, and in 3 weeks you can't do that, but at least they've seen it, and at least they've gotten their fingers dirty. You know, the other things that we're thinking about is exactly what you're talking about. You can move people into consulting. Maybe that's somewhere that we bring them into a class. We've talked about K-12 teachers, being able to bring them up to a camp like this. When the group first got together and talked about this, we decided to start with students, and maybe that's not the right place, and I think that's what we're wanting to hear here today. You know, do we start somewhere else? There's a lot of things that we need to figure out yet. I think that I've heard, as I've gone around the country and talked to people, a lot of excitement about this. But we wanted to know from this group here how you felt about it and if you thought it was important. And, you know, I will, my cohort back there, Patrick, agree that maybe this isn't the only group that would be interested in something like this, but it's certainly a group that we wanted to get some sense of where you wanted to go with it. That makes
sense. Doug.
Well, you know my background. NRCS from this little survey. In the last, since about 2005, we've run like a 3-week training course on soil geomorphology, and it's field oriented. And it's, we have a kind of a narrower audience, but I would have some suggestions again about this. 3 weeks and is about the right thing. If you go beyond that, you can't have it as intense, but it does have to be focused. Should be project-based. I mean, there should be projects that people need to complete. And we use a team-oriented approach because you can't grade 30 projects for the teachers and grade 5 projects, but they have to be equally developed by the teams. Lastly, we always have a post-course application that they also have to do, so there's a follow-up. And that kind of reinforces a lot of what is presented there during the training. And when you're going to jump around between locations, that makes it more difficult to have a consistent package because you have to develop it around whatever the field application is in those particular areas. So I would suggest you have to have some core group of people that's going to make have a consistency within that training. So, okay, we do it in Wisconsin, and next year it's going to be in Texas. How do you maintain a consistency and a quality? Those are issues you can face. So some suggestions.
Is it common or uncommon, I guess, for the programs at the different universities run soil science for the field courses to be not required? Like, is it, are they core courses and programs generally where they have to take them, or is there another problem that's being fighting in that these courses are not actually required? You can get out without a field course in soil science.
And some others can speak, but there are very few soil science classes that have field applications. The only I can think of is pedology, and if they be part of a soil judging team.
So there's programs that don't always have them as a course.
Yeah. The other situation you have with the classes is that they, quote, the lab is not long enough in time to take them out to the field and bring them back. And so, again, if they go out, like the introductory soils class, they go out, I think, for 2 labs. It's really right on campus. It's not a field, even though it's called a field lab. It's not really a field lab. Yeah. And I think, again, that's what's happening is that we're facing, as I listed, some of these situations to take students out to the field. I have to admit, when I was still teaching the pedology class, I was just going on either university property or state property, and then I still had to get archaeological approval to dig my holes. And that's just more work you have to do. And you start thinking, well, should, you know, do the students really want to go out to the field? Yeah.
There's lots of logistical issues that were always there that made it just difficult to do it in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. So, and this again is to give the students an opportunity to go wherever we have the field camp to see different things. Like Ken was talking about his experience of going on that trip. I mean, part of it is just being away from home, being together with other students, you know, and what maybe learning soil science is something you just picked up, but it's the camaraderie that you have with the people that you're with. That's the whole, that's a big part of it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Two comments. The first one is the geosciences model, I think, is not the only one to look at to gain experience. Forestry departments around the country also have field camps, and there's a lot to gain, I think, by asking the foresters how they run their field camps.
Yeah.
And the second question is, I didn't see a bad idea.
Okay, sorry about that. They were clapping for me just when you said something. Did you say about the consulting soil scientists?
How can we involve the consulting soil scientists in identifying the program goals for the National Soils Team?
Yeah, a very good question. And that's, these are excellent questions. Dawn?